From the outside looking in, it's the Vocal Minority Podcast.
It works on many
levels.
What's
happening?
I think it's coming from the phone.
I'm afraid. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast, the podcast that is enjoying a relaxing off-season and enjoying the extra layer of CPL news that came our way today. I know.
I'm bundled.
I know. On this week's show...
It's like one of those seven-layer burritos.
I think it's the fifth. Yes.
Is it the fifth?
It's a good layer.
This has always been the problem with the CPL. Too much news. Too much information.
Yeah, I know. How are we supposed to deal? On this week's show, we've got next to no TFC news to discuss.
Fucking hooray. Fuck those guys.
Instead, we'll get caught up on the MLS playoffs, talk a lot about the Canadian national teams, and finally, lots and lots of Canadian Premier League news. I know.
It's like the other five layers of your seven-layer burrito.
Oh, they're coming. Now to this week's panel. Needing a crash course in classic Canadian TV... Welcome to Duncan Fletcher.
This is true. This is very, very true.
We do. We have to, like, I don't know.
Okay. I've maybe heard of that or haven't heard of it at all, but this is no kind of nostalgic attachment to me, but cool logo, I guess. I don't know.
Yes. Our tech guru, it's Mark Hinckley.
Like, I imagine at some point in time somebody explain the correlation between your cat Finnegan and what most Canadians would know that name by.
Yes, I have heard of whatever that other Finnegan thing is. Casey and, I think.
All right. I wasn't. I thought he was bullshitting.
So did I. I was like that other.
That
Finnegan
is not why we called our cat Finnegan.
It should be.
It isn't.
It's
best
not?
Dog ever.
No.
I'm disappointed.
Even though it's a cat. Mm.
Joining us from a secret location. Ooh. Say hello to Tony Walsh.
Over.
Krista, the situation is tense. 10 miles north of Kuwait City.
Stay safe, Tony. Stay safe.
I want to be called the Scud Stud.
That is never happening.
Aw. If Duncan could be Mr. Dress-Up, I can be the Scud Stud.
How about we call you Scud Mark?
I'm right here.
I get that now, Mark.
Thanks.
Why don't we just call you Tony Tomahawk?
Tony Hawk. Oh, that's a skater.
That's a skater, which is why I didn't do that.
Dude, go with Tony Hawk's way better. I love your video games.
What about Father Tony Hawk?
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Allegedly.
No.
Hey, kids, you want to go skateboarding?
Stop.
Damn.
All right, as for me, I'm, fighting off some germs. I know. Delightful. I am your host, Kristen Knowles, and now to this week's show. This is the week I really wish we had the video podcast just so we could see Mark's technical wizardry with the bumper music right now.
I, for one, I'm glad you don't.
Get him, buddy.
Video podcast. I'm going to tweet that now.
Great. Live tweeting on the podcast. Yes, Tony, yes. You are missing the fuck tweeting. Out.
This is amazing. Why didn't we think of this before? Mm. All right. Well, first up on this week's show... It's MLS time. Yeah, I know.
I think that's the official grunt of the
That
playoffs.
Was the pelvic the Audi pelvic thrust.
Oh God, don't even get me the fuck started about that.
Are you doing the time warp? What's happening here? Halloween is over.
I have a lot more physical freedom when I'm in an undisclosed location.
Oh, okay.
Who doesn't?
For any bystanders, we're really sorry. Anyway, the playoffs you know, it's mostly playoffs we're going to talk about. There's a couple other things worth mentioning, but playoffs first. So the playoffs do continue as Toronto FC watch from the outside looking in.
Aww.
But you know what? That doesn't mean we can't enjoy them.
I've been enjoying it on my couch.
Yeah, me too. Unfortunately, most of the enjoyment was in Thursday night's match between the Sounding Enthusiasts and the Timbers. But oh, what fun that was. The first half saw the team seemingly intent on beating up on each other rather than playing. So halftime came with Portland still in control, but the goals, they were still to come. So we saw Rui Diaz and Blanco trading goals towards the latter half of the second. And then Rui Diaz again late into added time. To extra time we go. And it was late sub Espria who put Portland ahead once again with a fantastic header off of Valeri Cross. Jubilation, at least.
Acrobatics.
It was. There was, yes, there was flipping and tumbling, yes, and it was very exciting. However, a handball, allegedly controversial handball, at the other end of the pitch gave Seattle a penalty that Nicolas Ladero, of course, converted. Back to being tied up. And to kicks we go. Sorry, I'm just checking out the latest post of the video podcast, and delightful.
Oh God, there's video now.
There is indeed video.
I know people are supposed to pay for that, Duncan.
This is the teaser.
Tweeting the video podcast as we record.
This is how we're going to get people interested.
Mind blown.
And that's why we hemorrhage money all the time.
Yes.
All right, so time for penalty kicks, and in the shootout, Will Bruin hit the post. Mm-hmm. What you get for leaving your team.
Rare.
And then delightfully, Ozzie Alonso had his shot saved.
Ha! That makes me laugh a lot.
It does. It was basically...
it was so shit, yep, as well.
It was so bad. It was... Mm. Oh, I'm still smiling. Ultimately, it was Espria's shot that put Portland past Seattle. And we have a delightful end to this. Seattle's out.
Yay!
Dynasty. Woo. Dynasty. Dynasty.
Thank God. Go ahead.
More importantly than the result, the Twitter video podcast is fantastic for making me feel part of the crowd.
That's good.
It's like Mark was giving me the finger.
Yes. Really, he was.
He was.
If you were here, he wouldn't be doing this whole phone in a cup shit. So,
Duncan is absolutely correct, actually, now that you say that. Yeah, it's no, Tony, you're welcome.
You're in the pocket of big dress up.
Big tickle
trunk.
What's
in that tickle trunk, Mark?
Big.
Secret.
This actually is Father Tony Walsh we've got on the line, isn't it?
Bless you.
So then the rest of the matches, of course, were on Sunday. And
why wasn't Seattle's game on Sunday?
That's a really, really good question, Duncan. The throw ball people.
Big league.
Yeah, air quotes.
So Sunday started off with really the most disappointing result, as the Sporks managed to get past Petke & Co.
It was a good game, at least.
It was a good game. It was all SKC early on as they went up 2-0. And
do you guys shop at Petke & Co. to get your cat stuff?
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Okay, just check it, because I don't have a pet.
There's a guy named Trey who like hands out informational pamphlets.
Oh, that guy's so good.
That
he balanced my tires.
Yeah.
That too. Oh yeah, that's right. He's got like all those other jobs. Mm. So yeah, it was SKC early on as they went up 2-0 and looked fully in control of an RSL side that was not only missing Albert Rucksack to suspension, but also Rookie of the Year Corey Baird because of concussion protocol.
Rucksack really carried the team.
Got it.
Not too far to pun, mother.
They wouldn't go easily, however. Sebastian Salcedo got one back to even things up on aggregate. But then a mildly controversial penalty call on Diego Rubio. And Raimondo, who is one of the best shot stoppers of penalties in the league, if not the best, was beaten by Illy. Is that how we say his name? Ilya Sanchez on the ensuing kick. That sounds good. Damir Krylik got one back, but Daniel Saloy put it away for the Sporks late into added time.
That was, I wanted Salt Lake to win, but that was a deliciously tragic end.
The way that
last goal was scored was delightful. It's like, oh, it's all Salt Lake. They're going to get that thing. Oh, what have you done?
What has happened? Yeah. So
too many Salt Lake players sound like they're the Lost Boys in Peter Pan.
That's where they do their best scouting.
Yeah. Anyway, so farewell to RSL. Until next year. And then the next
year. I think it's about time you embrace the sports, I think.
No.
Okay. First off,
there will be no sport embracing.
Hang up on this guy.
Tony Walsh, everybody. Oh, yeah.
Calling it a satellite strike on his location. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
I'm never supporting the sports. Fuck them.
I don't care particularly much about the sports, but I'm not going to embrace them.
No less than we should embrace RSL.
What?
Pecky gives good quote. That's why.
Pecky gives great quote.
Amazing.
Zhao Plata.
Oh, Zhao Plata. Yeah. That tiny boat sailed a long time ago.
He's delightful.
Come on. Freddie Mercury's love child.
What?
Luis Silva.
Oh. What did Plata do to deserve that one?
We all know Plata's not cocaine midgets. Produced gel powder.
That's what gel powder is. Yeah. See, when I'm far away, you steal my jokes faster.
So
that's what you get.
It is. The next two matches...
Stop sending me on Champions League.
The next two matches saw the MLS scriptwriters at their very best as, and yes, this is all in caps, thank you, MLSsoccer.com, the most epic conference final matchup ever... was set up after the AU guys easily dispatched with Davy Cottage and friends, and the energy drinks put an end to the storybook season for the crew. Seriously, seconds after that last match was done, all over MLS's, you know, site and social media, is this the best matchup ever? I'm nauseated just reading the tweets.
There's a certain logic to that.
Oh, I'm not saying
name another conference final that comes in with a combined 140 points.
Duncan's in the pocket of big MLS.
Teams
points.
In the league.
Fucking sell out.
And, you know, hey. Mm.
Anyway, so really the only question after these two matches, other than who's going to win their next one, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, is where will Davy Cottage play next year? Because it's basically being stated that he will not return to the Pizza Rats, but that he's probably going to stay in MLS.
That's weird.
I wonder where he might go.
Who's coming in his expansion?
He's not going to Cincy.
Going to LA.
He's going to change his name to Johnny Fever.
Legitimately a very good player. Legitimately a very good forward.
Absolutely.
But pretty old Montreal. It's just logic.
Oh.
He's got a point.
Nah.
That's a very good point.
There's that Italian dude they had, I don't remember his name. There's Drogba. This is the kind of guy Montreal fucking loves. I mean, you know, he's not Italian, but, you know, you can look past that part of it. They did with Drogba, for example.
He has a mustache.
Fair.
All right, so now we know who's contending to make it to the final in December. The first legs are going to be played on Sunday, November 25th, after the international break is over, with the second leg following on the following Thursday. Lots of following. It does make sense. It's just an awkward sentence. I apologize.
Sunday then Thursday? Okay. Yeah.
So we can either do first leg predictions or overall predictions. What would you gentlemen prefer?
Oh, overall sounds
all
quicker.
The legs.
Yeah, I'm pro legs, so yeah, whatever. Whatever works out in my favor in this math, I don't care.
I don't know. I'm not sure I understood everyone's answers. Duncan just wants to give an answer and be done with it.
No, not at all. I'm willing to discuss this.
We'll do the first leg. We've got to talk about this shit next week.
That's true. Okay, first legs only. All right, so
first legs only. Jesus,
I know. Well, because we do have to talk about this next week.
It's gonna come up.
Who's playing who where?
I'm going to guess what? Sporks at Timbers.
So.
And New York at Atlanta?
New York at Atlanta.
Yeah.
So that's the first match.
I don't know the West as much. I really don't give a fuck about the West.
Well, Portland being the lower seed, they host first.
Oh, okay.
So although. Atlanta hosts. I keep forgetting that the energy drinks. Won the supporter shield.
Yeah.
So
I know, but I'm going to remind Atlanta supporters that forever.
All right. So AU guys hosting the Red Bulls, and then Portland hosting the Sporks. Predictions for a win. You can give a score if you want. You don't have to.
Red Bulls win 2-1. Timbers win 2-1. Done. Son.
I like your optimism. I think it's going to be 2-1 Atlanta, not because I want them to win, because I actually think they're going to. They're going to get stomped out 3-0 back at Harrison.
The House of Pain.
Yeah. So, I think Timbers are going to... I'll say Timbers 2-0.
Ooh.
Yeah, crazy.
I'm saying 1-1 Atlanta, New Jersey.
Mm.
And 3-0 Portland Sporks.
Woof.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy. Tony.
Over.
1-1 for me as well for New York and Atlanta. And a 2-0 for the Sporks.
What? Spork lover.
What? That's just...
Embrace.
Disappointing.
Never.
Embrace.
No.
So disappointing.
Eat both sides of the utensil.
Mm.
Is it a spoon? Is it a pudding. Fork? I'm confused.
It's like a really crappy kayak paddle. You're going to be going left a little more than right, just because the tines of the fork don't.
All right.
It's like it's perfect for like the Swanson Hungry Man dinner, where you want to mix your Salisbury steak with your hot brownie. Mm, good. Oh,
that sounds terrible.
What are they feeding you at this secret location? What is going on?
Tell me, has everybody at the second cup looked at you like a fucking weirdo or what?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm writing my script in the window of a coffee shop.
Scene 2.
The podcast.
Yes.
So now that we're turn our attention from the playoffs to the newest team for next season, which is FC Cincinnati. I just want to call them the FCC because it makes me
I know.
Giggle. I don't know why no one's running with that.
The FCC putting all those blocks in on the boobs.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
It's their fault. It's their fault. I can't see boobs at 9.
I know.
So what we have, we don't have much to talk about with them, except for...
Is it FC Cincinnati or Cincinnati FC?
It's FC Cincinnati.
It's FC Cincinnati, okay.
WKFC.
Exactly, I know. That's the other thing that's in my head. It's hilarious. I've lost the thing that had the infographic. Where is that link?
Oh, we could just make it up.
Yeah.
But it was.
I think I remember a lot of it. The main was the seven the hills sword, of Cincinnati.
Yes, and then the wing was the 3 years they've been in existence. Anyway, so FC
and
Cincinnati.
The tail's a sea.
Yes. Released a new badge. Yeah. And
the lion was the father of Crew Cat.
Crew Cat wishes that was
its
dad.
The crown is because they're part of the Queen City.
Mm.
Right. Which is also an old nickname for Toronto. So
it's also Buffalo's nickname.
And ours, so Trillium Cup, here we go.
Exactly. But the thing with the shape of the badge being something reminiscent of a soccer ball or something. Like,
right. Oh, that would be so American.
The hexagon, yeah.
Yes.
And don't forget the Germanic font.
Oh,
that's right. Yes, yes.
And
so,
the sword, because they're up for fighting or something. Ready for battle.
Games are now going to be decided by a duel. I don't know. Oh yeah, and Ignite and Unite.
Ooh.
Is there
mascots?
Yes. Yes, those are the twin mascots.
They're
fancy new saying.
They're both pigeons. That makes no sense.
One's an arsonist and
the other one's a painter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very very polarizing. Very
I love avant-garde mascots.
Oh, who doesn't? But I feel like this happens with every badge. At least this one tried, like legit tried to have some symbolism. You know, they tried to throw in a couple little, this is what this represents. And this is what, it's like the minutiae, the details are kind of unfucking necessary. Mm. So you see, you use a fancy word and then you make sure you say the word fuck within 5 words of it. Just balances out real nice. So yeah, I see what you did there, and you put a C in the tail, and he's fighting, and the Germanic, like, okay, there's far too many little fucking details that don't fucking matter. Why are you watching the video that Duncan posted on the podcast? It's like the weirdest meta ever. So anyway,
watching the video podcast.
Yeah. So if you happen to be one of those people who listen to this, and then. like, don't follow us on Twitter for some reason, you just bless you, first off. Secondly, there's Duncan put something on Twitter on Wednesday at approximately 6 o'clock-ish, so go find that stupid little video of me looking like a moron MacGyvering audio. So, yeah. Not
you look like a goddamn technical wizard is what you look like, Mac.
Exactly.
I need a better hat. Yeah. But anyway.
Truth.
It's not a terrible badge if you haven't seen it. It's the old one is kind of better.
The old one is better,
but like
there are worse badges.
Oh, there are far worse badges. Los Angeles FC,
Atlanta.
You mean the five stripes? Not a fucking thing. It's not a fucking thing. I don't care how much marketing you put behind. It's not a fucking thing. But yeah, it's all right. Well, that was anticlimactic. They better still keep the blue and orange hoopy things that they've been wearing. I dig their current
hoopy things. You mean yeah. Kits?
Hoops.
Hoops. It's right there in your hoops. Fucking
hoops.
Right, a hoopy thing.
Mark's a
yeah,
Mark's
but
a,
in, within the hoops, there's a pattern.
Mark's a whore for hoops.
Basically. I would. I'm a whore for stripes in general. But see, Dunk, you would know this, except judging by your judgment of me last week, have no taste. Therefore, let's. You shat on me because of Scotland and Man United, even though those were killer kits.
You know, I did not.
I give, those were better kits.
I give you the win overall is what I did.
It's true. Yeah, you did. But
what am I supposed to do? Scotland and Man United.
Look at them objectively. How about that? How about that? Huh?
Okay, the Man Remember? United one was shit. The sponsor is awful.
Oh, the sponsor is not terrible.
Yeah, it is.
Have you seen the current one? It's not fucking terrible. Anyway. Enough of this recap of last week.
Yes.
We're not talking about that, Duncan. We're talking about, I hope they keep the orange and blue hoops.
So. I went back to watching the Twitter feed.
Fair. Fair. At least it makes you feel like you are actually here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, yeah.
It matched you screaming at Duncan, actually. It was pretty good.
Oh, well. You should do it on mushrooms next time. You fucking blow
with
your
Dark
mind.
Side of the Moon synced up.
Oh, yeah.
Next time.
So, yeah, all right, Cincinnati, FC Cincinnati, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
I hope they get a ridiculous sponsor.
See,
I don't know what industry Cincinnati
is. Yeah, I know. I don't know what the hell's there. The Ghost of Marge shot. Can that be the old Cincinnati Reds racist owner?
Yeah, the dog. Remember the dog?
The dog. Oh, the well, dog. Isn't that the current owner of the Cincinnati Reds? Because she's dead.
Maybe she's dead.
Maybe not the dog. Anyway, never. Whatever.
I'm sure the dog is too.
One can only hope.
All right. One last thing before we leave MLS.
Was the dog also racist? Because if not, this is very unfair to the dog.
Oh, the dog was a bigot.
Oh well, fuck that dog then.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. A couple.
One of those dogs that just barks at every black person he sees. That sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Only hung out with German shepherds.
Yeah.
All right, one more thing before we leave MLS.
I had a good joke about French poodles rolling over on the first day.
I was trying to work in Dachshund, to be fair. Go on.
I just want to talk about the stupid awards.
Talk about the stupid awards.
I'm trying.
Truly, they're stupid, though. Let's be.
Well, they are stupid.
Yeah,
they're
the dumbest.
So, Coach of the Year.
Oh, these awards.
These awards. Yeah. As I kept saying, one more thing in MLS. I'm trying. So, Coach of the Year ends up being Tata Martino.
Sure.
And got the majority of the votes, except for the media vote, which went to Bob Bradley.
Sure.
Controversy.
Yeah, give half each to Jesse Marsh and whoever took over from Jesse Marsh.
There you go. And then, unsurprisingly, newcomer of the year went to Zlatan. Yeah.
Well.
He's so new.
He is.
So fresh.
He's new to us.
Out of nowhere.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe he's the newest comer. That actually, when you
that
put it
sounded
like that,
really
it sounds
wrong.
Really uncomfortable.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
You gotta wipe that down. All right. What other awards were there, Kristen?
Well,
save me.
Speaking of the newcomer of the year, Zlatan wins goal of the year as well.
Oh, thank God.
And
I had money on that one.
Not the goal that he scored against TFC, which is nice.
Seattle one?
The one from the very first match. That his very first goal.
Launch lob
when
thing.
He was the newest of newcomers.
When he was the newest, yes, when he still had the wrapper on. And it was, quite frankly.
Chris Knowles.
The newest comer. The newest comer. Huh? See? Now I'm actually going to be redeemed by that terrible comment.
Damn it.
By tying into this one.
Damn it.
Thanks, Tony.
Oh, at least it was a safe award.
Oh! Hey. We need to go back to a previous Tony Walsh joke. And there needs to be an old comer of the year award.
Well, there's already a GO station named after it.
Yes, yes. Who wins the old comer of the year award for MLS? Old comer of the year, Tony. Who?
Father Tony Walsh, live from old comer station.
Yeah. Nothing new. Nothing new there.
No.
I'm calling 911 right now.
Your God can't help you now. Nobody knows somebody wants you dead. Yeah, you know, nobody knows somebody wants you dead. And the list it grows and grows and grows and
all right.
Technology.
It's CanCon time. There's lots of CanCon to discuss today with several of the national teams either literally in action as we speak, about to be in action, or just finishing being in action. And then, of course, lots of CPL news. So buckle up, CanSoc folk, because here we go.
Thanks for paying for my trip down to St. Kitts, by the way.
Worth it.
Is that where the money went?
Worth it, Tony.
It's no wonder
doing a lot of research.
No wonder the cup budget was so mediocre. So
I'm sorry,
true. Yeah,
he's got he's very persuasive. I'm sorry. First up, it's
I will not go to Nevis though.
I was gonna say which is
not Nevis. I know, right?
St. Kitts or Nevis? Which one? Which is nice?
Never. I'm never Nevis, man.
So first up is the Canadians men U20 team. No World Cup for the U20 squad again. And they went out in terrible fashion, losing to St. Kitts and Nevis. Though they did manage to win their final match of the tournament against Martinique. It's a disappointing outcome, and they haven't qualified for the U20 World Cup in, I think, over a decade now. Which is,
they done it? I know they were there in 2007. They didn't qualify. They didn't score a goal or anything. But
They were hosting, yes, so they had to be there. Yeah. So it's been over a decade since they participated in the tournament. And you know, there was, you know, we talked about whether or not having some of the brighter lights that are with the senior team right now would have helped, and of course it would have. And as we argued with special guest Joshua Cloak last week, going to a world-class tournament is good development experience.
You would think.
And there's a lot of talk about the lack of chemistry because these kids had pretty much no time to play together. You know, there were a few standouts. Again, I still say, you know, Noble Okello is somebody you really want to pay attention to. And you know, not just because he played for TFC2, but just because he's a lot of fun to watch and I think has a big future. But it's a disappointing tournament for them. And some will look at it as a mark against John Herdman's taking over the men's program. But I think a little more rope gets given.
I think that's a bit rich.
Oh, I know. But I've seen it. And again, usually from more of the tinfoil hat, you know, fire everybody every time anything bad happens. But
so that would fall more to the technical director of the CSA, no?
One would hope.
Who is that Justin DeVos these days still, or is that
John
Herdman?
Isn't it Stuart Neely now?
Oh. I don't know.
I don't know.
Stuart Neely's with the CSA now. I actually can't remember. He's the manager of coach education. He's educating the coaches.
I don't feel the Herdman quite yet has that top-to-bottom control of the program.
You wouldn't think so.
No, it's still a very new thing.
Either way, disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, it is disappointing too. Okay, yeah, they didn't. Maybe they weren't full strength, but okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound like obnoxious against the lower Caribbean.
Go on, Tony. Yes, you do.
Have a swing.
Even Canada's B team shouldn't be having trouble with St. Kitts and Nevis.
No, agree. And that was part of the thing was that was who they lost to. Like that was what put them out. You know, yes, they lost to Panama, but they lost to fucking St. Kitts and Nevis, and not. It wasn't a close match either. It was ugly.
No.
So, yay. Well, rest up, kids. Rest up. Mm-hmm. Next up is the Canadian women's U17 team. So, former Canadian women's national team mainstay Rian Wilkinson is actually now in charge of the U17 side. And they not even heading into the U17 Women's World Cup in Uruguay. It's currently on right now. Literally, as we're recording, it's on in my living room. So
that's where I am right now.
That's your secret location this whole time?
Are you behind?
Maybe.
Which couch? There's so many places to hide in that living room. I just don't know.
True.
I found a wormhole.
Damn it. And anyway, so it's... The tournament goes from now until December 1st in Uruguay, and this is the group stage. So this is the U17's first match against Colombia, and it's being broadcast. All three of their matches are being broadcast on TSN, which is a very welcome surprise. So nicely done, broadcaster.
Well, it's not like they have Champions League to show. Oh,
who cares about fucking Champions League shit?
Yeah. Anyway, it's just good to see Canadian matches on broadcast television. I think that's regardless of the level. Like, when was the last time you saw U17 anything from Canadian national teams that isn't hockey on a national broadcaster? It's been a while.
Yeah.
I feel like they show the Little League World Series.
I don't think those are counted as
The Canadian U17 Little League team.
I know. I always appreciated the Canadian feed of the Little League World Series. Which broadcaster was that?
I don't know.
ABC, probably.
Probably.
Wide World of Sports.
I think we should change the name of the old Tiny Talent Time to the U17 Talent Show.
Anyway, currently, literally right this second, in about the 75th or 76th minute, it's still 0-0 between Canada and Colombia. So,
Nothing could go wrong.
Nothing could go wrong.
Why would it? How could it?
The young women's next match is against the Korea Republic on Saturday afternoon, and then Spain next Wednesday midday at like noon or something. So, we'll talk
there
about
no
that
East
next.
Korean week. Republic.
It's the best one.
It is the best one.
Yeah, not enough for 17-year-olds, apparently, though.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
Maybe. Anyway, so other than having Rian Wilkinson in charge, which is interesting, I was saying to Duncan before we started recording that I actually didn't realize she had moved into coaching. So, you know, she was a mainstay with the women's team. She's the third highest capped player for the women's team, was with the program for 14 years, very successful player for the national team. And Jordan Heidema, of course, is the star of this team. She's the captain as well, and she's the one that has spent the most time with the senior team and probably has the biggest upside.
So people who play with the senior team can play with the younger.
Oh, I know. It's funny how that works.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Anyway, we will we'll see what happens next with them, but good luck, ladies. It's nice to see one of the Canadian national teams at any level in the World Cup. So good job.
Mm-hmm. And good luck to the U17 baseball team at the Little League World Series.
Yeah. All the best.
Get some dingers, boys.
Who wants to see me hit some dingers? All right.
Dingers.
Hey, if you do well, you get to go to the World Cup of Baseball. That's always a good time.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Where we get to be eliminated by the Netherlands.
a squeaker to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't Stubby Clap do well?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Wow. Blast from the past. Okay.
Hey, he's the AAA manager of the season, I'll have you know.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah. Jesus,
in the Pacific
seriously?
Coast League.
Yeah.
And the Blue Jays couldn't fucking hire him? Jesus fucking Christ.
No, I know
Blue
they
Jays.
Should have.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow, I pay zero attention to baseball these days.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's Portland's AAA team.
Huh.
The hipsters.
It's in the St. Louis Cardinals family, whatever.
I thought it was Memphis.
Well,
who cares?
Mark, you're in charge of looking that shit up.
I'm going to look it up because I want to know.
Yeah, we must know. So last
we
up on...
We need to get our mind around the clap.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been successfully derailed. Okay, Mark, what do you got for us?
Oh, well.
The clap.
So I hope he does actually get some kind of major league job at some point so it can be, you know, Blue Jays get the clap or whatever can be the headline. Whichever team.
Tony, you're correct. It is the Pacific Coast League, which makes no sense that Memphis is in it.
So he Memphis is
Portland. He never said nothing about Pacific Coast.
He did say Pacific League.
I did. Listen to me.
Yeah.
For this voice box. Yeah.
It'll be on the podcast. Maybe check the Twitter feed.
Yeah,
maybe
there's
a video
exactly.
About it.
Okay. Yeah. Someone check the tape.
Watch it back on Twitter.
All right. So the Canadian men's national team.
Baseball?
Yes, baseball. Yes.
They won the Little League World Series. Now they're really going for it. No,
is Rob Ducey still playing?
Oh, wow. I used to watch him play Christy Pitts.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think he's gone into management, but he's under Garth Org.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's a pull. Can we talk about soccer again? It's way too much fucking baseball. Even like, I mean, the team thing, that's my jam, but a player thing, I don't give a fuck.
All right, so the Canadian men's national team of soccer.
Oh, hey,
Tony.
Ooh.
So the CONCACAF Nations League qualifying is still slowly happening. So the men's team is looking to keep their good form going in this tournament as they take on dun 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 St. Kitts and Nevis.
God damn again.
Oh, no,
revenge.
Revenge.
Don't avenge your children.
Just remember, Tony, you promised not to go to Nevis. Fuck those guys.
Mm-hmm. If the under 20 team is good, imagine how good the full men's side is.
I know.
Okay, maybe you should go there, but only to light fires. I assume that's what you do.
So the match is this Sunday at 7 p.m. If you're in the Toronto area, there's a Voyagers watch party at Duggan's. And check Voyagers' Twitter feed for other watch parties across the country if you feel like getting together with people to see them attempt to take on, you know, what is clearly one of the giants of Caribbean football. Herdman has selected a similar squad to the one that took on Dominica, but there are a few changes due to surgery. Osorio, due to impending children being born. Scotty Arfield.
That's nice.
Yes. He's decided to stay in Scotland awaiting birth of child.
Hope he's going to record a couple of new tracks.
I'm hoping so as well. We need new Begbie's material
what
desperately.
What kind of real man is he abandoning his country for the sake of, I'm having a kid being born. I don't know. Players today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like the old days.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, here they go.
Proper football.
Yes.
Proper football and, you know, father's not present.
That's back in my day.
TFC have two players with the squad. However, they have Jay Chapman and Liam Fraser. And I think it's. I'm glad to see Liam Fraser with the squad. I actually was surprised he wasn't with them for the previous match. So, it's again fairly.
Have either of those ones been captured already?
Yes, they both have.
Both have. All right, well, whatever.
Then fuck those guys. What?
No.
Surely there's some kid struggling in the Romanian third division whose uncle once visited Canada for a week. Maybe we could get him up there.
The most important thing is that Mr. Zombie is with the squad.
That's true.
He's having, speaking of Champions League, go on, Mr. Borean.
Giant killer
is delightful. It is just.
I mean, he's already had his ass whooped a few times. Not his fault, but he's
That's
had
the magic of Champions League, Duncan.
Yes.
Duncan. Ooh. Duncan looks like he's feeling the magic. I yes. Honestly. Also,
I know it's no FA trophy, but still.
Truth.
Yeah, it's no Anglo-Italian Cup, is it?
It's not the FA.
Doodle-loot.
Also, Maxime Crépeau, who is the USL actually goalkeeper of the year.
Not surprising. He's awesome.
And
he's one of the ones that Ottawa let go, isn't he?
Yes.
Mm.
Wise.
Yeah.
So because
he kept talking about the CPL.
That must have been it. Mm-hmm. Once again, continue on a very welcome trend of zero players from unattached FC.
So who's Kripo with now then?
What do they have him listed? They still have him listed as Ottawa, so I guess technically maybe he's still under contract.
He's an attached then, isn't he?
Maybe they're bringing him back under the table. Who knows?
Mm. Did unattached get relegated? Because it's weird that there's no players in there anymore.
Could be, could be.
Year, ooh, a new goalkeeper, Maxime Crepy.
Didn't see that coming.
What's great again, though, is that Atiba Hutchinson is again with the squad, so like looks like he's going to be.
It'll be nice for the people of St. Kitts and Nevis to see him
exactly
play
one last time. You've got Junior Hoylett because Cardiff aren't well doing much. Well, they had a good game last week. Balu Tabla is there. Lucas Cavallini. So some of the more dominant players, the players that we've sort of been excited about, are there. And then there's some of the young kids as well. You know, Manricker James is there. You've got Samuel Adekube, and obviously the Fonz, Liam Miller, and Daniil. Daniil is there.
Hey, that's nice.
So that makes me happy. So yeah, so this is again one of those games that are still only through that weird CONCACAF website. And oh dear, what is Duncan doing? He has got that video camera going. Oh no. So we've got that happening. Again, it's free to watch. If you have difficulty and you don't have to log in, if you just go to oz.com, the game's usually there for free right on their front page.
Are you promoting piracy?
It's not piracy. They're putting it for free on their site. That is their site. I'm promoting their site. That is where it's hosted. So it's pretty straightforward. And yeah,
St. Kitts and Nevis was a hub for pirates, by the way.
Thank you.
I can see that.
Thank you for that latest factoid.
All right. Yar.
Between this and CPL?
Yeah. Why not? Let's have a little break.
While Duncan posts the latest video.
Yeah, Duncan's doing videos, so.
Multimedia. Mm.
I hit a dispatch fist. I think that's lowercase M media. I'm air quote media. Everybody else is just regular.
Is it okay? You'll let us know though, I hope. Alright, next up on the show.
God, it's times like this I should have had the camera rolling because Duncan took a chip and then almost went like horizontal in his seat.
Like I thought he was gonna Phil Collins that, but he managed to
hear it?
To hang on.
Got me there.
So next up on the show, it's Canadian PL time. Woohoo!
Woo!
Woo! Yes.
Ooh. Oh my god. Before you go on, Duncan. The zoom in of the Starry Starry Night.
What are you doing?
So inconsistent.
That's gross.
Oh god.
Oh, you had to like tag the inconsistent art,
yes.
You dick.
Why does the yellow not carry on in between the gap between that wee shrub thing? Hey, come on. Come on, Van Gogh.
Nice face. I didn't even know what he was doing. Oh, you bastard.
Well, at least
hater of art.
At least though, the five of you out there who really, really try to picture what the hell we record our shows in, are getting some real hard hitting looks as to what recurring insults to art that happen. Mm. Whether you're Tony and Duncan insulting the art, or you're just eyes are assaulted by the art, there's insults to be
had. How can you be assaulted by this brilliant work of art?
Mm. So KPL time, everybody.
Yes.
So first up in KPL land is the U Sports Draft.
The Mii Sports Draft.
Exactly. Ooh. It's all about you, Mark. All about you, honey.
Is that the tagline? I feel like that should be.
So
Mii Sports. It's all about you.
Fuck, really?
So the draft took place behind closed doors on Monday. And then the results, I know, the results were revealed on Tuesday. And it was funny because the results
Such
were
bullshit.
Announced.
Why
and
have
then
a draft
it took about an hour and a half before. Jesus Christ.
Sorry, go on.
No.
I have a response.
Well, part of it is I think the students were in school. You want them skipping class, Duncan? Is that what you want? You want them sacrificing their education?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was interesting on Tuesday that the announcement was delayed a good hour and a half. And I sort of figured out what it was. It's because
Parent
every
permission?
Club had to put together those clever videos of them calling their players and being all dramatic and everything. So they had the video team at the CPL headquarters, I think, was scrambling a little bit to get them all rolled out. Before.
They should have done a more Canadian thing, like with someone calling into the woods and them emerging from the tundra or something.
So I
have like the forge people sort of yelling out Oski wee wee and like people coming back and it's these three individual people yelling Oski wow wow back at them.
I'm okay with that. Paul Byrne with a big Matterhorn and then people just coming from all sides of the country. Nice Matterhorn.
Thank you.
It's impressive. It's impressive Foley work. I've got to say.
My Foley's on point, yo.
I feel like this is where the video, that's where the video podcast should have been.
Sorry, I just need to. I just need to like interrupt momentarily to say that the Canadian women's U17 team are currently up 2-0 in the 89th minute.
Jesus, that turned real quick.
It did.
Good.
Huh. All right. Fantastic.
I've heard on this podcast what could go wrong.
Don't be jinxing it, secret location man.
So I had a terrible...
What could go wrong? If this one's over.
I had a terrible theory, but it seems to make sense. So last week, before we were recording, we were talking about the U-Sports draft and as to why it was behind closed doors. And I made a guess. We didn't talk about it, but I made a guess before we were recorded that part of the reason why I think they did the whole thing behind closed doors was because I genuinely believe they were trying to do some wheeling and dealing to make sure that the local players go play for the local team. So
makes sense.
Well, so they posted on Twitter and probably on their website as well.
Everywhere, yeah.
The 21 choices, the three rounds of choices.
Yeah.
And so I broke them up by local, non-domestic, and international. I realized one of them, I forget which one. I think it was Edmonton. Drafted a player from BC, but I'm giving it to them as local.
It's pretty close. Only the only one that's not is
so
the number one draft.
So yeah, so Calgary. I'm not you can go to the players, but
getting picked by Calgary, that's a bittersweet moment.
Calgary drafted one local player, two non-local domestics. Halifax had one local, one non-local, and one international. But that guy played at University of Cape Breton. Hamilton had two locals and an international. York, two locals and an international. Winnipeg, one local, two internationals. And both Pacific FC and FC Edmonton drafted nothing but local. That's way too fucking convenient.
Yes.
But the weird thing is I'm very okay with it, but it's just like, that's why.
I don't think it's convenient. I think.
Deliberate.
I think it's obviously deliberate, but then I put this later on in my notes for the rundown.
Go on.
As I said, it actually made a lot of sense considering the whole point about the players not losing their eligibility is so as to not interrupt their studies as much as possible. Why drag them around the country, make them enroll into a new program, different universities offer different credits, change their programs, not everything is transferable province to province.
Season overlaps with their school seasons.
Exactly. So yes. Which was why I was actually a little bit surprised that Calgary went all in on, not in terms of talent from what I've read online for Gabriel Bitar, but, you know, he goes to Carleton. So they're dragging him across the country, but hopefully he's okay with that.
My question is, and I didn't see, mind you, I didn't really do too much research into it. How many of these players are not seniors? I'm assuming most of them, if not all of them. If we're worried about their eligibility, their academic eligibility and being close to their school, then are they all, were they all drafted as juniors or freshmen?
At least a lot of them
not
were.
Not freshmen.
And if all, what's the one, but
one? Sophomore.
Sophomores, seniors, yeah. Juniors.
But no, like, because like the thing is, if you're a senior getting drafted in this, who gives a shit about your academic eligibility? You're done school. The season's over.
Okay, so Gabriel Bitar is in his second year in university.
Okay, yeah, there it is.
Dylan Carrero.
Third.
Third, you
so
know.
So, yeah, they're probably... fourth year.
Jace is a fourth year. Mm-hmm. Fifth Jace. Year.
Fifth year? Doctor? Sorry, who is it? Go back up.
Dr. Lazy Pothead.
Dr. Daniel Gogarty?
Oh, Daniel Gogarty.
Doctor, because he's fifth year school.
Fucking... Doctor and then, you know, and then Thomas Gardner, who actually, I guess, played for the Rovers a bit as well, because they were tweeting at him.
Which
Rovers? No, the Rovers.
Rovers. You know.
Yep.
But Nick Soelzma's Rovers?
Exactly, yes. With Nick Soelzma. Uh-huh.
Wow, he's already
the
got
second S stands for Soelzma now.
You know, again, you know, local boy.
Something? Soelzma? No, it's something.
I also
something
do Soelzma think...
Soelzma, Soelzma, Soelzma Rovers.
Soelzma, Soelzma Rovers. better, improved.
I do think in a lot of cases, drafting a hometown player as your first draftee, you know, it lends, it's a nice story. Mm-hmm. It builds
it's
a little
savvy.
Bit of, stop it. It builds a little bit of community, that sort of thing.
None of that surprises me.
Yeah, then
me.
They end up becoming your like assistant general manager. Then they hang around and have a job for like 10 years. And they get to host. Then they get to be the owner of a new club. It all works out that
if
way.
If you're going to be the owner, you might as well be the head coach. Well,
exactly.
Well.
You know, like this—that's the career path you want, is it not?
You have terrible advice and haircuts for at least a decade.
It's not the one you want, but it's the one you get. Both in advice and haircuts.
Anyway, if you want a fair amount of detail on the players, again, I generally continue to encourage people to, I'm not shilling for the CPL website, but, you know, it's their site. This is their bag. So this is where all the information is. And for every player that's been drafted, there is a little article or a longer article for each player.
Cool. This is shifty. You're in the pocket of Big U Sports.
Yes, I totally am. Absolutely. That's totally the way this is happening. And that's why the quality of the hummus has gone up lately. I've been able to afford more expensive hummus because of this.
Government-subsidized hummus.
That is totally what the Patreon's going to be for. It's actually one of the options. It's to subsidize the hummus and carrots every week. So
the virtual hummus sucks.
I like to say it is. That is one of the options, as if this is actually a thing. And not
it's
just,
going to be
still,
a thing.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for approval from you lot on the video podcast placement so I can submit things for approval by the Patreon people. Camera's going to go people. Right here. Oh, 3-0.
Camera's going to go there.
Circuit
I told
Columbia.
You.
Good job, Canada.
Fantastic.
As scouted on this podcast, what could go wrong? Nothing.
All right. So the draft is over and... post-draft, there's been some rumblings that, you know, other player announcements are going to start taking place, that the clubs are actually going to start announcing rosters, and not necessarily rosters, or at least their first signings, with a couple clubs looking over the next couple weeks of saying, yeah, we're actually going to start announcing players that we've brought into. Exactly. Actual team news. It's kind of crazy. So that's something to look forward to. And we sort of thought that was all we were going to have to look forward to. But then the big news of the day, and it truly is, this is like fairly crazy shit, is the announcement that the Canadian Premier League has acquired League One Ontario.
So that's what they did with all that ticket money.
Exactly. This is a huge, huge deal, that, you know, League One Ontario hasn't been around that long, but has done a lot to develop soccer here in the province, both on the women's game and the men's game. And that's actually, for me, it's very exciting that the Premier League is aligned with this, or has a development option that's already running and doing well and attracting fans and that sort of thing. But the fact that there's a women's aspect to this as well, because a lot of us are like, okay, good, men's Premier League, yay. Mm. When is there a women's one in motion? And they have at least something to like look at and draw from going forward after they get the men's league, I guess, hopefully established. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's 17 teams on the men's side. There's 13 teams on the women's side involved in League One Ontario. The whole league spearheaded, of course, by Dino Rossi, who, you know, this is his baby. And if you haven't talked to Dino, he's a good guy, very responsive on social media, and has done a lot to promote and build soccer in this province. Mm-hmm. And like, personally, I think it's a great thing. I think it's great that the two things are aligned now, and I think it's a positive looking forward. I know that Clanachan had multiple interviews today and was asked, of course, about the Quebec League, and currently there's no plans to take that, which...
Oh, I'm sure the Plisk are really not thrilled with this.
But I think that should be Plisk. Your next move, is to take that one as well, yeah, if possible.
Is it possible. Plisk or Pliskwa? What are we going with?
Plisk.
Plisk. Plisk. But, of course, we need to put a team in Quebec first for the CDL. Nice. I think that would help.
I think it's,
you know, so your pro-annexation is off-putting.
That's totally what it is, yes.
Imperialist. Quebec, fuck them. League One Ontario is now CPL 2. Quebec, you can be CPL 3.
Burn.
If you get in. Or BC or whoever gets in.
Yeah,
you guys
next?
Are all, yeah, I will have promotion and relegation. All you guys got to go through Ontario before you get to the CPL.
There is a part of me that does love the idea that, say, they get the BC Premier League or whatever the hell it's called, and the champions are that, like, we like this league, but we don't want to get promoted because our road trips will suck, and... Yeah, that's right, Abbotsford. Good luck with surviving.
Imagine the relegation battle, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they don't want...
Shit. You know, it's
the relegation battle is what you want to watch.
Yes. That's the one thing. Yeah, people are really going to be going for that to avoid...
I'll drive anywhere in the province to see that game.
To the Nunavut League.
Oh, my God. We really...
I, for one, can't wait for York 9 to be playing as Woodbridge, Missouri.
The derby, as foretold.
In
the prophecy, it was right. Mm.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm not entirely certain how I personally take the news of this. I mean, it's good. I think it's good. I don't know if acquisition was the necessity, but I don't know the inner workings of League One's business. I don't understand. Like,
I mean, it depends, you know, seriously, like, their intentions toward it. Like, mm-hmm. Is it almost going to be a breeding ground for players? Because that's probably would hurt.
I think that's what they're looking at.
But that would hurt League. But that hurts League One in a way, as far as a ongoing competitive league. It turns into a more of a farm league than a, you know, unless the clubs.
They're looking at it as
it kind of already is, really.
Will the clubs have to? So if they've acquired this league, does that mean the clubs, say York 9 wants to buy a Woodbridge Azzurri player? Was there a transfer fee, or is it some kind of strange, you know, farm system like they tried with MLS and, you know, sending players down and all that stuff? You would hope that they at least keep a traditional style where if they develop a player, they get to sell the player and thus build their club stronger.
You would hope so. These are the questions.
It is vague right now.
Yeah, they haven't really like laid that part of it out. I know initially, apparently, they were just talking affiliation between the two leagues, but
I don't like the sounds of that.
That shifted into the CPL actually buying League One Ontario, and it is being viewed as the CPL's development league, their official development league, as opposed to any of the other leagues across the country at the moment. So
that's a very North American way of looking at things, you know, minor leagues. It would be nicer if to allow them to grow organically. Yeah, maybe it's good for the survival of League One to have the, you know, the economic probably clout of that maybe the CPL brings that they don't have. But you would hope for people who enjoy
the competition level of that league alone that it's not used just to poach its best prospects at all times.
I mean, I think that was ultimately going to happen anyway, because I can't imagine that League One's, you know, paying their players so much money that,
I'd rather be
a taxi player on Halifax than, you know, make $50 a game playing for Woodbridge. And that's,
yeah, but fair enough. As long as, you know, as long as Halifax has to buy that player from Woodbridge and not just get to, because the league acquired them, that they can just go, oh, you know, Halifax is joined with whoever, you know.
Halifax is at the top of the allocation draft now, so they get to pick this guy from League One.
I hope it's more of the case, like, if these clubs are all going to be, you know, some kind of subsidy being trickled down to them, maybe to lessen the impact of loss of players and or transfer fees, but it's not just like, hey, we're coming to raid everything you have. Like, there's going to be at least a bit of a two-way street as far as cash goes, because I agree with you guys. I'd prefer not to see that, Halifax Wanderers is now associated with.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's the intention at all. But like,
what do you know, Knowles? What do you know?
But the aim of League One Ontario has always been like it's a PDL league. It's a developmental league to get players to the next level. So
Fair enough. But CPL's always been talking about building the pyramid of Canadian football. So
this is part of that pyramid, is it not?
That's the thing. We don't know what it's going to look like in the end. It seems like it could be good, but I think it could be.
Yeah, it has the potential.
Like everything about the CPL, it seems like it theoretically could be good, but we don't really have details of anything. So hopefully it is, and fingers crossed.
I feel like I read a comment that implied that it won't necessarily be a fully minor league team, because I guess there's more than one owner in League One Ontario that has actually some aspirations of being a Canadian Premier League club.
Right.
Yeah. And which that makes me feel good, because at least I know it's not necessarily going to be, no, you guys are going to stay here and just provide us your best talent. You know,
well, I hope they
hooray,
have to
USL
too
just
because...
got created.
But
fuck.
I mean, is this going to be like, you know, similar to like Cincinnati going to MLS? It's not just, oh, all right, you know, whether it's Kitchener, London,
did your check
Woodbridge,
clear?
Whoever it might
welcome
be.
Welcome aboard.
You're doing really well in League One Ontario. So it's not just about your son, your players. The entire team is going to move out of the league into the Canadian
Premier League. Let's hope that team doesn't have to wait too long, because, if they have to wait like 5 years, that's five wings on the Lion.
Good point. It's going to have to be a really, really, really fucking shaggy lion.
Yeah, every club's got to have some form of feathery thing to indicate years spent in existence.
Right.
Man.
Peacock with a big spread out tail with like 20 different like feathers on it.
Man, if Toronto Croatia ever got in here, that would be the shaggiest fucking bird you've ever seen, because they've been around for like 60, 70 years.
No, they just use checkers. 70 checkers.
70 checkers. Oh my god!
It's got like 70 things on.
Why?
There.
Why is their club crest pink? No. Zoom in.
Zoom in.
It's the only club. It's like Boca Juniors with stars. So they just shrink the stars to add more. Just no.
Guys are weirdos.
It's like a hedgehog. count the quills.
Count the quills.
Count the quills.
Oh my god. Anyway, yeah. So that's
hopefully it's something that'll be good for like the infrastructure of League One teams as well. Just like maybe it's providing them more money or just like more aspirations to be able to kind of build like proper grounds and that sort of thing. Even like just small, you know, it's like 5,000 seats, something along those lines. I feel like a few of the games I've been to, really, this is essentially just a field with a few temporary bleachers, and that's where you play your games. It's like, And hopefully it can help to increase that and get some proper facilities in there and everything. And there was one time, this is like a few years ago, when Darlington, after going bankrupt and having to play at Bishop Auckland, then moved back to Darlington Rugby Club, but had to build new stands and everything to meet ground requirements and everything. And they got the skeleton of one of the stands from Fiefdoms where they used to play. So they essentially rebuilt the tin shed at Darlington's new ground. And at one point they tweeted out there, yeah, you know, here's the latest picture of the tin shed erection. And I obviously replied to that, giggled. Yeah, I've got a tin shed erection right here, if you know what I mean. And sort of Dino Rossi himself actually replied to that tweet. He said, oh, I would love to see a stand like that at all these League One Ontario grounds. It's just a crappy little terrace. You know, it's like 7 or 8 rows high. You know, it gets about 2,000 people in it when it's over one end of the pitch. And it's with a roof.
Yeah.
You know, with an actual roof that goes all the way around the back and everything, not like, just a fucking thing hanging out.
Not just
top,
a canopy?
Not just a canopy.
Like, I'm not looking for...
Let's get that sort of thing.
I'm not looking for, like, these, you know, 12, 15,000 seat...
No.
Just build a proper fucking structure that has some stands where people can... park their ass and
has a
roof. We all know that CSA has outlawed roofs.
Mm. And building,
there
apparently.
Will be no roofs in Canadian football anywhere. That is against the rules.
Seemingly.
That's true. Mm. But, yeah.
So. Well, I mean, looking like, okay, this is like decades probably into the future, but it's not unheard of. Say if a CPL, say if a proper CPL Coast to Coast 2 was not a realistic thing. Having these regional divisions, say they bought Quebec, say they bought BC, blah, 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 made them sepia, you know, having regional divisions where then if there was the capability to come up, they'd play each other for, you know, some kind of playoffs. It's not unheard of, even in, you know, Europe, like even in Italy, like you go down to C1 and C2, these are regional divisions. Yeah. So it's, you know, there's a possibility that something could work. It's decades, not years into the making, but this. Let's hope they use it as a good basis to build regionally rather than just use it as a minor league.
Four provincial leagues or regional leagues, and then the champions of each of them kind of play off against each other, and the winner gets promoted to the Premier League proper, or two of them get promoted.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then, you know, you hope that the team that gets relegated from Canadian Premier League makes sense to go into one of the regional leagues.
Well, you moved. Yeah, that's true. That might take a bit of shuffling sometimes. Like, you know, maybe an Ontario... one in the east goes to Quebec or something weird like that, but I mean, that would take a lot of oversight.
So the Conference North and Conference South, there's teams that are constantly swapped between those divisions depending on who gets promoted and relegated.
Yeah.
Or whatever they call it these days, I don't know.
Vanarama!
Yeah!
Anyway, so we will see, you know, again, the news is starting to finally to flow from CanPL headquarters, and it looks like more things will be happening, you know, since the league starts in less than 6 months.
There's plenty of time.
Oh, it's lots of time. It's lots of time. Anyway, welcome news. Exciting to see player news. So expect, again, player signings. Talk of camps. Oh, God, here he goes again. To happen.
Can you turn the camera around
point.
At least and get your ass in?
Yeah, really. Yeah. Why don't you film yourself during this video podcast?
Just turn around.
Duncan.
Hey,
just hit that little button.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there he is.
Bunch of people just
interactive.
Got nauseous.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, is it really a coincidence that David Villa might be looking for a team?
Dun, dun, dun.
Looking at you, Wanderers.
More videos.
And I keep forgetting to switch between accounts and replying to our fans on the internet, interwebs. This live tweeting thing in videos is very confusing. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's true. We need to, because I mean, every time I do this, everyone kind of stops and, oh, we're being videoed. What's happening? We need to get a more natural.
The first time,
kind of
I paid no attention to you whatsoever. This time, it was totally different. I feel like Tony should video himself in whatever secret location he's in.
No.
You've taken
they
off your pants, haven't you?
Don't allow video of the strip club. We all know that.
All right. So we're pretty much at the end of the show. I know. This is crazy. This is one of our shortest shows in forever.
Months.
I blame Tony. If he was here, we wouldn't have got past the freaking juniors and the Colombian women yet.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Way to move it along,
Tony. I assume that's Father Tony Walsh you're talking about.
Well, obviously, yes.
Obvious.
Well, yeah, if you were here for Duncan's description of the Colombian team, then yeah, we never would have gotten anywhere. So, as I said in the intro, there really isn't any TFC news to report, unless, as I often say, you know, if you're following the players on Instagram, you saw the latest outing of the players that are still here in Toronto. They all went boxing.
Ooh.
Looked like they had a very fun time.
That's nice.
It is. Chris Mavinga's in France right now being all nostalgic.
In French.
And visit.
Who won the boxing?
They didn't say.
Oh, well, fuck. What's the point?
Didn't say. Yeah.
Friendship won.
None of them looked injured enough, though, so I don't feel like anyone took frustrations out on the other, which is too bad.
We got a paperweight champion into the club.
All of the people that Michael Bradley's been yelling at for the last few years get to really sort of take out their frustrations.
All right, sorry.
Sorry. This is Michael Bradley.
Excluding the DPs. There were no DPs have been involved in any of these outings. I know. Chris Mavinga's in France being nostalgic and visiting all of his old stomping grounds. And you know,
Victor Vasquez used to box in Belgium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh.
And Barcelona.
Ooh.
Tell us more.
Oh, tell us more about Belgium. Yeah, go on.
Oh, you don't know about Belgian boxing?
Oh, no.
Is there
everybody
involved?
Talks about it all year long.
I know about like, the Belgium kickboxing and everything, Mr. Van Damme, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But the actual, like, just Marcus of Queensbury rules, regular boxing, go on.
Oh,
educators do.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate belts.
Mm.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. The ring girls are those lint bunnies.
Oh, that's nice. I get stupid hot under the foil, though.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I know. I'm just wondering if I should push the show along.
All right, I'm getting distracted by the video podcasting. Anyway, so otherwise though,
news. Yeah. This has not worked well.
It's the weirdest derailment ever. It was an indirect derailment. It's like, holy Duncan just posted video of the thing I was just in 30 seconds ago. Let's watch.
Trying to respond to people that are responding. Trying to
show's gonna be over
soon.
Twitter's still gonna be there.
Unfortunately. All right, fine. Anyway, so you know, but otherwise there really hasn't been any news. No more. No one else has gone for surgery, so that seems to be a positive.
That's good.
Apparently, so knocks are healing. Hopefully, they haven't cut anybody loose yet. And
more of them have had hernias, the team might have done better.
Maybe
that's clearly the key to winning.
Maybe that is the key to winning. There is the whole, like, you know, all the different transfer days and must sign players by and cut them loose. You know, there's always that day after MLS Cup when you have to make some player decisions. So December 9th is always a fun day for social media teams and that and so on. So if you go to the MLS's website, they did post a little thing about all the important upcoming dates, including the draft for FC Cincinnati, which, as we know, does not include Toronto FC since they lost a player last year, and that sort of thing. But the only other thing we're going to talk about for TFC right now is the upcoming VMP Final Countdown. That's right. It's Final Countdown time. So we've got a little more time to do it this year, given...
Hey, can we have an auto company sponsor it, though?
Like who would you like to sponsor it?
Audi?
I don't know. Not Audi. They're taken.
Kia. Name another. I solely focus on MLS sponsorship for my car knowledge purposes. So Audi and Kia are the only ones out there. Surely,
is it Tata? Is it the one for the Indian company?
Yeah,
the crappy cars.
They all use Continental tires, obviously.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
What about Saab?
What about Dacia?
Dacia, nice. Saab, I think, is out of business.
I know, but...
What's the Romanian one?
I was kind of going with Crazy People movie, because we have to be crazy to have someone
Petrescu.
Sponsor us.
Oh, God. Oh, I don't want to look it up, but I think I know it. Isn't it Dacia? No?
Oh, yeah, Dacia is the Romanian
Yeah.
God damn it, Tony.
Why do you people know this?
How about Trabant?
Wow.
What the fuck? I'm very, very, very concerned about all of you.
Well, you know, this has been thrilling videoing.
I say Robin recording. Reliant.
Yeah.
There we go.
The Dodge K car.
Mm.
I had a Renault in high school, and that thing was a piece of shit. I hated it so very much.
You had a car in high school? Oh, laddie, fucking yeah.
It was my mom's car that I took every day, basically.
Was your limo in the shop?
Yes, it was.
Jesus.
She also had a train.
I rode the bus, like 10 miles each way. Yeah.
Uphill in the snow?
Yes.
With no shoes?
No.
Shoes?
You were lucky then.
All right, so the VMP final countdown. Jesus Christ.
Next, you'll tell me you had feet.
They were a graduation present. How was I supposed to say no? So the VMP final countdown, normally the last couple of years, you know, we haven't really asked you about this or mentioned it until well into December.
Because we've been busy.
This year, though, we have
so much time.
There's a little extra free time.
So much time.
So.
You can really give it a think.
You really can. I want some good comments this year, people. Not that last year you weren't doing very good.
I think she just all called you slackers.
Oh, God.
Don't make me harass you this year, people. So the post will be going up in the next few days. And you know the drill. DM, email, get in touch if you want to participate. And of
Tinder,
course
Grindr.
You do.
MySpace.
Yep.
Snapchat.
Snapchat?
I don't know.
Did you start a Snapchat for VMP?
I don't know what the fuck it is.
Pornhub.
You know what it is? Yes, Pornhub.
Yes, definitely Pornhub. You know we're very popular on Pornhub.
Oh, yeah.
So, please participate. It's a lot of fun. And I believe there's 35 players to rank this year.
Ooh,
I know.
Really?
Yes. Well, those games when they brought like the entire Academy team up, that sort of bumped the number up a fair bit.
Julian Dunn.
Yes, Julian Dunn is involved.
Defender lost 5-0. He's
how can
he's
he not be
good.
Number one?
Big Ben Spencer back again.
All right.
I know.
Somebody's got to be number 35.
Exactly. Oh, that's probably Mino. Who?
What? Oh, that guy's easily 33.
Alright, so please do participate in the VMP final countdown. We enjoy doing it every year, and we like seeing how you've ranked the players this year. But that's it for our show this week. It really is. I know it's weird.
It seems wrong.
It does seem wrong.
Just put it on repeat. And
I'm trying to figure out something else to talk about just off the cuff,
Matt,
and I've got nothing.
Loop the whole thing.
Tony, anything from location? You know, anything you want to share with us?
No.
All right, sweet.
He's like, no, fuck that noise. All right. Well, then please join us next week as we continue to talk about the MLS Cup playoffs. Check in on both the Canadian men's national team and the Canadian women's U17 team. Hopefully more CPL news, and maybe, who knows, maybe there'll be some Toronto FC news, or maybe we'll make something up because, you know, we haven't done that for a few weeks, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I've been joined by the entire VMP panel, which is just delightful. Kind of. He didn't pre-record this. I will say that.
The timing's been exquisite.
It has.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like, I don't know
That's
how he did
I keep
it.
Looking We're at my all, phone, really. I'm checking the script to see what I'm supposed to respond. Mm-hmm. Out there on the Twitterverse at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Hello.
On the tweet machine at KidNerdMark with a K not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Yeah, I am.
Aww.
Still.
Right. Oh.
That's true. I'm not denying it. I'm just ambivalent about it.
Huh.
Kristen's about to sneeze, so you can follow him at Malarkey FC, joining us remotely from Kazakhstan.
From parts unknown.
Parts unknown. He has been Tony Walsh. Not that one.
Rude.
Rick Rude? Is he from Cotton?
No, he's from Florida, I think.
As for me, thank you, boys.
Kristen's back.
I am back. As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I've been your host, Kristen Knowles. And
There's a long time before the words kick in. Stretch out that intention. Stretch out the outro.
Get used to it.
I had a really good goodbye. Yeah.
is.
So speaking of like interactions,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm new to this. I know. But speaking of interactions with our viewers and our listeners, like where I am curious though, where were you lot on the Great Kit Off? Like seriously, all Kit fans.
Put them up there on like round by round. Put them on Twitter or Instagram for people to be voting on.
Yeah, people are lazy. I don't know.
I suppose I could still.
I don't know if anybody actually visits. They're gonna think it's this week's episode.
Well, then we can give you a link to last week's episode.
Go tweet yesterday. For all those photos.
Fine.
And round by round on Twitter with polls or Instagram or however these things work. And
you know, how about this? We'll just put them up now and I'll post this episode sometime next week. How about that?
That sounds amazing. That would be perfect.
That sounds like a great idea. I was trying to think of a joke that involved back to the dog thing.
Dogs, right?
Yeah.
Dogging?
Yeah. No. Marge shots Nazi dog.
Yes.
And you made the German Shepherd thing, and I was trying to also work Schnauzer in. I assume that's German. I mean, it's right. It just feels like it's in there.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Is it Dachshund?
Dachshund, yeah. I was trying to work Dachshund in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is terrible.
What's that big giant gray one? That's got a German name.
Afghan Wolfhound?
No, that's from Afghanistan.
Probably, yeah. Yes, yep.
Or from Hound's Tooth.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that a fucking name? I don't know.
Isn't that where Duncan's from?
We need a British bulldog to come in and take down Mad Shot's racist Nazi dog.
I feel like I've seen that before.
Mm.
Somewhere.